I said, Hallelujah. People of God, are you there? Remove your mute and said, Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Hallelujah. All right. So before going, I am going to start. I'm going to begin with a new word. I ended on the spirit of mammon and ended on the fall of mammon last meeting. We are going to step into a new message that the Lord wants to give to us tonight. But before doing that, I want to again, last week in all the meetings, I was reading a scripture. And then even yesterday evening, I was praying and the Lord told me that you are blowing the trumpet and you need to blow the trumpet 7 weeks. For 7 weeks, every meeting, you need to blow that trumpet. For 7 weeks, and then it was like when I counted 7 weeks from last meetings, when I counted 7 weeks, it is actually by till the end of 2024 are 7 weeks. So the Lord told me to blow the trumpet for 7 weeks. That is every week we have meeting to blow the trumpet, and it is an announcement of the same word I am going to do in every meeting till 7 weeks are completed. That is what the Holy Spirit, the Lord, asked me to do. And the trumpet blow, the announcement is from the book of Amos. It's from the book of Amos. Let's go there. Amos chapter number... Amos chapter number 8, verse number 11 and 12. That is the trumpet blow. And what is that? Amos chapter number 8, verse number 11 and 12. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. That is the announcement, that is the warning, that is the trumpet blow that I want to make. And I am going to make, declare this word every meeting until the year ends for 7 weeks. So God is, the famine of the word is near. That is what I want to tell you. The famine of the word is near. Right now, the season we are living in, we are living in the season of abundance of his word. You know, once I was with the Lord in the hotel room, and in the middle of the night, I got up and I thought, let me go and wash my face. And I went to the basin to wash my face, and to my surprise, I switched on the tap and there was no water. So I said, oh, there is no water. How will I wash my face? And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me. There is coming a time where there will be no word, where there will be no release of the word. So I said, what to do now? The Holy Spirit pointed me out to the bucket that I had filled with water. He said, you see, you have filled the bucket with water. So when there will be a famine, you can use the water that is stored. So you need to store water. You need to store the word in you in the time of abundance. You need to meditate on the word like the storehouse of Joseph. It ran because of a mystery. The mystery was he stored during the years of abundance. So he was able to feed during the years of famine. Hallelujah. The famine of the word is coming. That is the announcement I want to make. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to the word. The word, the topic, the message title the Lord gave me is a model of righteousness. Even as we approach to the end of 2024, the Lord wants you to be a vessel, a model, an example of righteousness. Are we together? Okay, there are miracles, signs and wonders. There is power. We want to have power. We want to have anointing. We want to have oil. But the Lord wants us to be considerate, to emphasize, to be an example of righteousness, because the sons of righteousness are going to rise. when the world will fall down. Those who live a righteous life, righteousness will be on the top. Righteousness will rise in the coming days. But for us to go there, we have to go through many things. So I want to start to preach on the model of righteousness. The model of righteousness. Okay, hallelujah. Now, righteousness has many verses, but to sum it all up, the definition of righteousness I want to give you is, write it down. First of all, I want to start with the definition of righteousness in our time and season. What does it mean to be a righteous person? Righteousness is to be consecrated. Righteousness is to be consecrated, to perform the will of God, to be a practitioner of the word of the Lord, to preach and teach boldly as per the utterance of the Lord. These are the three main contents to be a righteous person. We will go into the scriptures, but I summed it all up into one definition. What is righteousness? Righteousness is to be what? Consecrated to perform the will of the Lord, to be a practitioner of the word of the Lord. And it does not end there. To preach and teach boldly as per the utterance of the Lord. All right? That is righteousness. Now let's turn to, we will start with 2 Timothy chapter number 4. We'll start with 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Let's read the whole chapter, because my sermon on the model of righteousness is based on that whole chapter. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Let me read for you that chapter. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at the appearing and his kingdom. At his appearing and his kingdom. Okay. Verse number 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Okay? Remember, this is the model of righteousness that chapter 4 talks about. The letter of Apostle Paul to the young Timothy. Okay? He says to him, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of what? Righteousness. Does your Bible say righteousness? Everyone say crown of righteousness. Everyone say crown.
Righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Crown of righteousness.
That is what you have to win for. That is what you have to win. That is what you have to live your life on earth. You have to live your life on earth to win the crown of righteousness. Apostle Paul has won it. Okay, he's writing about that. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Hallelujah. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychius I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to the works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my defense, No one stood with me. This is something that you will go through because of righteousness. At my defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully. The message might be what? Not half messages. Full gospel. Message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, let's stop there. So that chapter, we are going to dissect and we are going to see how to be a model of righteousness, an example of righteousness in the kingdom of God for God, and an example to the world as a righteous vessel. Okay, we will start off by dissecting that chapter. The first revelation about righteousness I want to give you is, true righteousness is persecuted and rejected. Write it down. True righteousness is what? Is persecuted and rejected. We are living in a time where righteousness will not be appreciated. We are living in a time where righteousness is not looked up to. We are living in a time where righteousness is rejected. The people who walk in righteousness are persecuted. The people who walk in righteousness are ignored, are looked down upon. True Amen. Righteousness is let's understand facts about righteousness. True righteousness is what? Is persecuted and rejected. Come back to me into the verse number 3 that we read. Let's go into that revelation. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 3. For the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. So, what we understand from that word, first of all, is major percentage of people would like to hear what their itching ears demand. So they prefer to choose false and unrighteous voices, and they will reject and persecute the righteous person. Hallelujah. Stay with me. Righteousness, when you walk in the righteous path, you will not attract people to yourself. When you walk in the righteous paths, you are out of the crowd. You are not in the crowd. And the crowd will hate you for what you do, because there is a stereotype that has been built that people are gathering for themselves teachers who could satisfy their itching ears. So when a righteous man speaks, there are scarcely anyone who hear him. But when a false, that is a corrupt voice speaks, we will come to that at the later part of the sermon, those false teachers that Apostle Paul talks about are actually, I will title them as the sons of Belial. As the sons of Belial. So if there is a spirit that is fighting the righteousness of God, is the spirit of Belial. And the sons of Belial, that the Bible's, we will come to the scriptures when we come to that part, are fighting righteousness. So we are rejected. The righteous people of God are persecuted because people don't prefer to hear what you are saying to them. People don't prefer to hear what you are speaking to them, because they have found teachers who have no proper doctrine, no sound doctrine for themselves to satisfy their itching ears. All right, to understand that, let us go to a scripture, Luke chapter number 23, verse number 18 to 25. Luke chapter number 23, verse number 18 to 25. Luke chapter number 23, verse number 18 to 25. And they all cried out at once, saying, "Away with the man, and release to us Barabbas." who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them. But they shouted, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Then he said to them the third time, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison. But he delivered Jesus to their will. Hallelujah. The people chose for themselves a murderer and a criminal instead of the righteous Jesus. That is what the world will prefer to choose. If the world wants to give their attention to someone, it will not be a righteous person. If the world wants to give their attention to someone, wants to give their praise to someone, it will be a criminal, it will be a murderer, it will be a sinner. But for a righteous person, they will give no regard. Listen to me. Don't be surprised if you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Because they persecuted Jesus and they rejected Jesus and chose a criminal instead of Jesus. The world will reject righteousness. Don't be surprised about it. Hallelujah. I am not scaring you, but I am telling you, if you want to choose righteousness as the model of your life, this is the first warning. Take it to heart because you have to deal with it. You have to deal with it. Stay with me. It's not a gloomy and a sad life. We will come to that. But I am telling you, if Jesus says, do not be surprised, because if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. You will be persecuted for my namesake. Righteousness shall be persecuted. Are we together? Stay with me. So people prefer to choose a sinner. People prefer to choose unrighteousness. If you do a survey and bring 200 people and do a survey, and take their opinions, whom you want to follow, they will prefer to follow unrighteousness rather than righteousness. So you have to understand that if you choose to live a righteous life, you have to accept the part and parcel that it brings with it, that is persecution and rejection. But don't worry, God will show you a way how to deal with it. Hallelujah. God has comfort for those who walk in righteousness. Hallelujah. Matthew's chapter number 10. Matthew's chapter number 10. Verse number 22, 23. Matthew's 10, verse number 22, 23. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly, I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Hallelujah. It says you will be hated by all for my name's sake. This is how a righteous person functions. Hallelujah. The God ordains a righteous person to minister to the unrighteous ones. The way he wants to spread righteousness is by the one who holds on to righteousness, and he will make the righteous person minister to an unrighteous person. He will make the righteous person minister to a wicked one. He will make a righteous person minister to the rebellious ones, to the stubborn ones. And God will make him minister till their time has not expired. But when their time has expired, God will make them move on to leave those people and move on to the other city. That is how God wants to spread righteousness. So if you are rejected and persecuted at one place, don't sit there crying. If someone you were ministering to, if someone you were praying for betrayed you, you did a lot for them, but they are like, they don't care. They just threw you out. They just put you in the dustbin. Don't sit crying there depressed saying, oh, people are like that. I don't want to minister. No. move on to the next person, because God has many in this world. Hallelujah. That is how a righteous person should react. A righteous person should be used to persecution, insults, bad words, betrayals. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we together? You should get used to. If you want to be a model of righteousness, get used to betrayals. Get used to getting used and thrown off. Don't worry. People are throwing you off. But God will take the same thing that people threw off and take it on and take it and make you sit on the throne of authority. That is what happened with Joseph. Hallelujah. You have to move on. Joseph moved on in his life. The brothers betrayed him. He moved on. He started to do a job in Potiphar's house. He was doing well in the Potiphar's house. He was accused of raping, and then he moved on from there. He did well in the prison. He was moving on. So listen to me. As a righteous person, God will not place you with good people. God, your congregation will not be good people who will say, oh, my pastor is my hero. Oh, he is wonderful. No. God will use you to minister to evil people because God wants to save them. But when that time expires and when they reject the righteousness, when they reject the word of God, God will set you on a different city. That is what Jesus is saying to them. He said, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. And then he says, when they persecute you in this city, flee to another city. Because there are cities that will not get over till the Son of Man has come back. Hallelujah. Move on. Righteousness. You will be persecuted. John chapter number 15, verse number 20. John chapter number 15, verse number 20. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If they persecuted me, Jesus says, they will persecute you. If you say, oh, the whole world loves me. If someone says, oh, that preacher, everyone loves me. No one hates him. No one persecutes him. There is some problem. There is some problem, because Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they received my word, they will receive your words also. And you shall also make disciples. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 12 to 16. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 12 to 16. Okay. Getting persecuted is not just getting persecuted for any reason. Getting persecuted is not just, I want to get persecuted. No, not like that. It's getting persecuted for righteousness' sake, for the name of Jesus Christ. There was a person, he said, I went late to the job and my boss shouted at me. And I said, oh, why you are shouting at me and this and that. And for going late to the job, I am getting persecuted. I am getting persecuted for Jesus' sake, you know. I said, you are not getting persecuted for Jesus' sake. You are getting persecuted for your laziness. Yeah, people are like that. There was a person who said to me, brother, I am evangelizing, but I am getting persecuted. I said, can you please describe how do you evangelize? He said, he was a man. He said, I evangelize only to ladies, only to girls, you know. I said, okay, move on. He said, I go to them and I tell them, you know what? Jesus loves you and I also love you. I said, that's nonsense. You are filled with the spirit of lust. No wonder you are persecuted, and you are persecuted for the wrong reason. So and then people are like, oh, I am persecuted for the name of Jesus. I am persecuted for getting, per- no. Getting persecuted. For the wrong reason is not the persecution that God allows in your life. There are persecution that comes because of your attitude, because of your behavior, because of your unrighteousness sometimes. That is what Peter is speaking. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 12 to 16. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matter. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Hallelujah. So Peter is talking about not having suffering, you know, suffering and persecution that comes because you are a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a busybody in other people's matter, like a gossiper. That is not the suffering and persecution that should come in your life because of those things. Okay? Persecution that comes because of your faith. Persecution that comes because of you following Jesus Christ, you walking in the path of righteousness, you holding on to your integrity. That is the persecution that glorifies Christ. Hallelujah. And right now you are suffering, but later you will see the reward. And what he will reward you with is his glory. Hallelujah. Okay, so are we understanding? True righteousness is persecuted and rejected. So do not be surprised and say, oh, Brother Rahul, you know what? I have been rejected and persecuted. I don't know if I am in the will of God. Well, if you are walking in righteousness and because of that you are persecuted and you are rejected, you are on your right way. And I want to give you a verse for that. The verse is from 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Do not be discouraged. This is the word for those who walk in righteousness and are persecuted and are rejected. Do not be discouraged if you are rejected by men. Do not be discouraged, because the Bible says you are chosen by God and you are precious in his sight. God's eyes are on you. Hallelujah. And don't worry, we will go on to the next revelation and then you will understand more about being a model of righteousness. Hallelujah. Before we go on to the next, I hope everyone has accepted the fact that if you choose to be a model of righteousness, you will face rejection and persecution. Hallelujah. Because our Lord Jesus, the perfect model of righteousness, was persecuted, was rejected. So don't be surprised if you are not famous. Don't be surprised if you are not applauded by the people of the world and accepted by them, because you are walking in the paths of righteousness. The rewards that you will get is on a different level. Hallelujah. I am also teaching this to break the stereotype of people who want to serve God, and the way they look at ministry is, if I do ministry, the world will be behind me. I will have crowds following me. I will have people around me saying, Papa, 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 what I can do for you. That is not ministry, people of God. Ministry is the ministry of righteousness. You will be rejected. You will be persecuted. Most of the time in your life, you will be isolated. You will be lonely. You will be misunderstood. But God is making you stronger. God is preparing you for a season where when others will fall, you will rise like Joseph. Hallelujah. Righteousness. God wants you to be a model of righteousness. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. When someone rejects you, they are not the last people on earth. Go and preach the gospel to the next person. When that person rejects you, don't worry. Don't stop there. Go and teach the gospel. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Continue to preach the word of righteousness. Continue to be preacher, to be the preacher of righteousness. I like what Renard Bonnke said. And Renard Bonnke said, if you pray for the first person, that person does not get sealed. Move on to the next person. Pray for that person. Does not get sealed. Move on. Pray for that person. Move on. Pray for that person. If you prayed for 100 people and none of them got healed, go to the 101st person with the same faith and believe the word of God and pray for their healing. That is how you have to spread the word of righteousness. Get hallelujah. Betrayals, rejections, oppositions shall not bring you down in the name of Jesus. But you shall be like a stone in the altar of God, which shall not be moved from its place. And you will continue to spread the fire from the altar of God. That is the power of a righteous life. Hallelujah. The next revelation we want to come. The next revelation we want to come on is a preacher of righteousness. The preacher of righteousness. Listen to me now. We are coming on to some serious stuff. A preacher of righteousness is not recognized by the world, but his recognition comes from God. A preacher of righteousness is not recognized by the world, but his recognition comes from God, because what he speaks is established. And what he speaks is established. The second point of this revelation. A preacher of righteousness is a prophet and a watchman. A preacher of righteousness is a prophet and a watchman. His speakings being the utterances of God as trumpet blows, warnings and rebukes, etc. Okay, let's come to the preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness is not recognized by the world. I am teaching you something that God taught me in my younger days. I started ministry from the time I was 19 years old. At the age of 19, I encountered Jesus Christ in my hostel. I was in the Navy. I thought I will go around the world, make a lot of money, go around with girls, change girls. That was my vision when I was young. But Jesus encountered me and destroyed my plans, changed me completely. So in the Navy hostel, I encountered the Lord Jesus Christ. The bright light that came from his being completely shattered me and brought down everything that I planned. And from that day, I started to follow him. And from that time, I was in the Navy hostel and I said, Lord, I was not getting the fees to pay at that time, at the age of 19. It was God's will to bring me out from there. So he did not allow, there were financial problems, blah, 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 but he did not allow me to. And then I asked the Lord, what should I do? A voice spoke to me and told me, you go back because I have chosen you for this nation. You go back to your house. So I went back to my home and I started to serve the church. The ministry that I did at the beginning is to go 2 hours before the church would begin and put the chairs and do the sound mixer attachments, put the speakers on the stands and all those stuff. Ralston was there in that church with me that time. He knows me. So that is the ministry I started to do. But within one year, God started to give me house groups. So I started to teach the word in the house group. So I have been doing ministry now for roughly around 12 to 13 years. I have been in ministry. Full-time ministry I started two years back. Before that, I was serving under other people. I was serving them faithfully. But I am teaching you something that God taught me in this 11 to 12 years. That is what I am teaching you. Okay? And I am telling you, God has ordained me as a preacher of righteousness, and a preacher of righteousness will not be recognized by the world. And because at the beginning I knew that God had spoken to me that I will be an apostle. But at the beginning, I had the wrong perspective about ministry. I thought I will do crusades, I will do this, I will do that. But God put me in the corner. He started, allowed me to get cornered and insulted and insulted. I said, what is this? What is this? And he put me into the secret place. By the age of 26, I received the Holy Spirit. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is when I got the gifts of the prophetic. I got the gift of seeing visions. I got the gift of dreams. And from the age of 26, I started to be in my room and get trained to interpret dreams, training myself to interpret visions, training myself. So God put me in the corner. And then later on, I realized that the God told me, you are a voice to the nation. So I thought nations will applaud me. No. I am a voice to the nations and people will not recognize me, but he will make me like a stone against those people. So we have to get the right perspective of ministry. Ministry in these days, the right ministry, the God-ordained ministry will not be recognized, will not be applauded by men, will not be applauded. You will not be recognized by men. After this, I want to ask you, do you want to do ministry? Hallelujah. You will not be recognized by men, but you will be recognized by God. And your speakings will, people will reject your speakings. They will hate your speakings. But what will happen is, whatever you speak are established truths. And whatever you speak will start to happen. That is how they realize the worth of the prophet. Not when he speaks. When he speaks, they try to kill the prophet. But when they see his words getting established, oh, he was a prophet. That is what happened with Jesus. When he died on the cross, he was really the Son of God, they said. Hallelujah. Stay with me. 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 5. Let's go to the preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 5. 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 5. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the 8 people, a preacher of righteousness. What is Peter saying about Noah? He was what? He was a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Okay, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. This revelation, Peter is talking about this by the spirit of revelation and wisdom. These things are not mentioned in the book of Genesis, but by the spirit of revelation, Peter reveals to us that Noah was not only the builder of the ark, he was also a preacher. He was also a speaker. And what kind of preacher he was? He was a preacher of righteousness. And to your surprise, by his preaching ministry, he did not build a mega church. No one came in his church. No one came in his church. In other words, let me be clear. No one came in his ark with his preaching ministry. His utterance was rejected by the ancient world. Do you understand that? I want to encourage pastors, evangelists, don't sell your soul to Satan. Don't sell your soul to Satan. When things are not working out in ministry, leave it to God. You continue to meditate on God's word and speak God's word. That's all. Leave about how many people are coming to your church. Leave about how many people are listening to you. We are living in a time, beloved, where the preacher of righteousness will not be recognized. Hallelujah. Am I right, people of God? How many people were in his ark? Tell me, only his own family. Who else was there in his ark? A preacher of righteousness. Yes.
Animals were here, but no people.
That's a good point. Hallelujah. That's a good point, Sister K. Okay. But he was a preacher of righteousness. Okay, let's go a bit into Genesis chapter number 6. Let's go there in Genesis chapter number 6. I want to, what I am doing through this sermon is, I want to get you into the right perspective of doing ministry. Ministry is not about congregation. There is a mega church pastor in Nigeria. He calls, you know, he has a title of a doctor, Dr. So and so. Mega church. He has 4 to 5 services every Sunday. And the whole, it's like a stadium filled with people. And he comes on and say, if you are a servant of God and if you are not able to attract crowds, you are not able to pull crowds, you are not a servant of God. If you are really serving Jesus, Jesus was a crowd puller. Jesus was a crowd, he attracted crowds. He was a crowd puller. And if you cannot pull crowds, you are not a servant of Jesus. You are not doing ministry like Jesus. What nonsense. I thought when Jesus died on the cross, there was only one member of his church remaining at the foot of the cross, that is John. And everyone betrayed him. Everyone. He did not founded a mega church. Study your Bible carefully. It is only when he operated in the anointing of signs, wonders, and miracles that crowds followed him. When he taught the doctrine of God, crowds left him. Study your Bible carefully. This is what you will find in your Bible. I have seen that in my ministry. It's not that I have not attracted crowds. By the grace of God, I went to a village and I started to minister, and the whole village gathered by night, the whole village and the nearby village gathered. Why? Because they heard that miracles are happening there. So when you operate in the ministry of signs, wonders, and miracles, you will gather crowd. Not why you will gather crowd. Because yeah, the Holy Spirit is bringing people, but it's also the psychological mind of people. If we are getting something very fast, let's go to that person. So Hindus will come, Muslims will come, Jewish people will come, atheists will come. If they hear he's a servant of Jesus, okay, we don't want about what is servant, but we want our miracle. That is how the mega church preachers and the crowd pullers play with the psychology of people. But when the same crowd, when you bring out the Bible and you start to teach the doctrine of the Word of God, they will go away. I'm not teaching anything out of the Bible. I'm talking Bible. I'm talking what happened in Jesus' ministry. So a preacher of righteousness will not be a crowd puller. But the preacher of righteousness will be the presence of God puller. He will bring the presence of God. He will bring the fire of God. He will bring the judgment of God. He will bring the utterance of God. Hallelujah. That is what he will do. Noah was the preacher of righteousness, but yet there was no one in his church apart from the family and as Sister Kay said, the animals. No one. Hallelujah. People will become so evil. We will come to that, where Apostle Paul says they will be the haters of good, lovers of evil, boasters, pride, boastful pride, and all those stuff. So it will be better to win animals than to win people. That is what it is. But that was a joke. We cannot win animals because they die when they die. They don't go to heaven, okay? We cannot win them. But you see the condition? Noah was a preacher of righteousness, yet there was no one in his church, no one in the ark that he built. Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6, verse number 11. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, and for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through me, through them. The earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside out with pitch." Okay, this is the instruction that was given to Noah by God. Verse number 22 says, the same chapter, verse number 22, "Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him." So he did. Then Genesis chapter number 7, verse 1 says, "Then the Lord said to Noah, Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. So Noah, first of all, he was a practitioner of the word of the Lord. What I said in the definition of righteousness, to be consecrated, to perform the will of the Lord, a practitioner of the word of the Lord, and to preach and teach the utterances of God. So Noah fulfilled all the three conditions. He was performing the will of the Lord. He was a practitioner of the commandments of God. And he also was the preacher of righteousness that he preached. He tried to save people. He tried to tell them that the world is wicked and God is unhappy with you. But they did not listen to Noah. They rejected the words of Noah until the floods came. And then when the world sees the establishment of the words that you spoke, then the world realizes, he was a true man of God. You know, that is how things will happen. Okay. Let's come to another example. Jeremiah chapter number 26. There are all the people in the Bible, the servants of God, were the preachers of righteousness. Let me give you a few examples from that. Jeremiah chapter number 26. Jeremiah chapter number 26. Verse number 1 onwards. Jeremiah chapter number 26, verse number 1 onwards. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command you to speak to them, do not diminish a word. That is a preacher of righteousness. God is strict with them. See the commandment of God? You go to the house of Judah. Everything that I speak, Jeremiah, to you, every word you have to say as it is. Don't diminish or subtract one word. Hallelujah. The definition of righteousness that I gave you is a complete model of righteousness. He performs the will of God. He practices the word of the Lord, and then he preaches and teaches the utterance of God. When you fulfill all three conditions, then you are the model of righteousness. Some of the people can stop on the second part of righteousness and don't preach and teach the complete things that the Lord gives to them, because they fear people, they fear status, they fear losing people. That is what, see the word, see what God is saying to him in verse number 2. He says, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command you to speak to them, do not diminish a word. Special instructions. Don't, when you receive the word from me and when you deliver it to people, you should not subtract one word from it. Come what may. Okay, Lord, that means you are going to blast something on the people if you say like that. Okay, hallelujah. Verse number 3. Perhaps everyone will listen and turn from his evil way. I may relent concerning the calamity which I purpose to bring on them because of the evil of their doings. See the intention of the Lord? He wants to make people the sound doctrine, and the sound doctrine is righteousness, so that people may turn away from that. They are coming to worship the Lord in the Lord's house, all of them in Judah, but they are practicing evil, and God is now speaking through Jeremiah. Now see what happens after that. Verse number 4. And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to heed the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I have sent to you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not heeded, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. Okay, this is the delivery of the word from Jeremiah. What happens after that? So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it happened when Jeremiah had made an end of the speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, that the priests and the prophets And all the people seized him, saying, "You will surely die." Oh God, hallelujah. That's why Jeremiah was fed up. He said, "I don't want to make the mention of the name of the Lord and speak in his name anymore." But his words were like fire shut up in my bones that I could not hold it. Preaching ministry, the real preaching ministry, the authentic preaching ministry is not easy. Hallelujah. It's not easy. It's not easy. After he preached, what happened? The priests that are the pastors, the teachers, the intercessors in the kingdom of God, okay? The prophets, so-called prophets in the kingdom of God, and the people there, they are the one who seized him. They are the one who seized him and told him, "You will surely die." Why? Because he was breaking the stereotype of the itching ears of people. And he was bringing the real and authentic word from the Lord to people, the word of righteousness. And people said, we will seize him and we will kill him. Verse number 9, "Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, 'This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant'?" And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. And Jeremiah was like, "Why you are beating me up? Why you are killing me? I am not the one saying it. The Lord is saying it. You don't understand it." Hallelujah. Are you able to understand how difficult a preacher of righteousness, how many difficulties, sufferings, threats a preacher of righteousness faces? You see that? You saw about Noah, you saw about Jeremiah. The Lord is speaking to people. First of all, he is changing your perspective about God's work. Second, he is comforting those who are walking in righteousness because you are getting discouraged. Don't get discouraged. God is with you, I am telling you. Continue to speak the authentic word of the Lord. Continue to speak the authentic word of the Lord. And then verse number 10, "When the princes of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. And the priest and the prophet spoke to the princes and all the people, saying, 'This man deserves to die, for he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your ears.' Then Jeremiah spoke to all the princes and all the people, saying, 'The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city with all the words that you have heard. Now therefore, amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent concerning the doom that he has pronounced against you. As for me, here I am in your hand. Do with me as seems good and proper to you. But know for certain that if you put me to death, you will surely bring innocent blood on yourself and on the city and on its inhabitants. For truly, the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing." Okay. Hallelujah. So a preacher, do you agree? A preacher of righteousness is not recognized by the world, but he is recognized by God. But to add to it, his speakings are established. Whatever he says comes to pass, because whatever he says are the word of the Lord. What I want to say to the preachers of righteousness is, do not be discouraged. Do not be discouraged, because your writings and your speakings will have long-lasting impacts and carry out the legacy of God from generations to generations. Listen to me. When you read Daniel chapter number 9, turn with me to Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel chapter number 9. Verse number 1. "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem." Wow, hallelujah. Why I'm saying wow? Because the impact of Jeremiah's ministry, maybe it was not seen before his eyes, but it impacted a young man called Daniel, who would carry on the legacy of God's kingdom on the face of the earth. Now, Daniel, I told you this before, Daniel had many voices to choose from, because you saw in the house of God at Judah, there were many prophets, beloved. There were many priests, teachers of the word, many prophets and many priests. So if Daniel wanted, he could have referred to those famous prophets. Some of them were recognized. Some of them were not suffering. Some of them had mega churches, mega following. People loved him. But Jeremiah, if there was a list of prophets at that time, of what, of as per the following of people and as per the bigness and expanded ministries, Jeremiah's name would have come at the last of that list, the most ignored, rejected, and persecuted prophet. Hallelujah. But he was a pearl on the earth that is very hard to find, the authentic voice of God. And he was at the bottom of the list. Many times he was in the prison. He was not having catering to his following. He was not catering to the mega following on the YouTube, on the Instagram. No. He was suffering because of righteousness' sake. Hallelujah. I am preparing you, beloved. I am telling you what is supposed to come. So his impact was not seen. But Daniel, a righteous man, a man chosen by God, a powerful man in the kingdom of God, when he had to choose from all the list, he did not choose the one at the top. He did not choose the one who were influential. He chose the one who was ordained by God. And he referred to the writings of Jeremiah. So what I want to tell you is, preachers of righteousness, maybe your impact will not be seen suddenly after you preach. Maybe you will not get an applaud from your congregation and the people you preach to. But I am telling you, your teachings and the utterances that you write or you speak are going to continue the legacy of God on the face of the earth. And generations will read it and find God and find the purposes of God. Hallelujah. Let me explain that to you. Because of the very unpredictable weather conditions in India, and because of the transition, you know, sudden transition of seasons and the increase of heat in India, I was going through some documentaries or some people, and I was hearing environmentalist, you know, those kind of environmentalists. And he said he was explaining about rain and about glaciers. And it rains a lot in India. It rains a lot in many parts of India. But he said that rainwater is like just a flash. It comes and it flows away. It does not get stored so that we can. So like one of the cities where I was born and where I lived was Mumbai. It rains a lot in Mumbai every year. But yet there is water shortage, because when it rains, it's just like the water comes and the water flows away. And then when in the summertime, there is the requirement of water, there is no water, even though it rained. And he said, that is how it happens. But glaciers on the top of the mountain are like batteries of rain. It's not that it comes and it gives and it goes. It is like stored water. Slowly, slowly it melts and it translates into water. And the stored glacier slowly, slowly throughout the years gives water to the villages and to the cities. So it has long lasting release because it's a stored water. So you are like, your ministry is like a glacier. Things will not happen suddenly. My hallelujah. Are we understanding? There are people who are like rain. They come and they go. You are not like rain. You are a glacier. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can I hear hallelujah? Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
You are like a glacier. You are like a storage house. You understand that? So as soon as you preach, as soon as you do the work of the Lord, you might not get a positive response. You might get death threats. You might say, oh, I don't want to hear this person. You know what? I don't want to sit in his meeting. Leave them. because you are a glacier. You will see its effects afterwards, slowly, slowly, slowly. Well, when Jesus resurrected, he did not found a mega church, but he founded a church of 120 people. But those 120 people had a greater impact in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was a glacier. He was like a storage house. He was not a rain that came and that went, came and went. And there was nothing for people to feed on. There was nothing for people to satisfy their thirst. So those who are not preaching righteousness are like rain. It's like, for instance, hallelujah, they are excited. I am getting my car. I am getting my breakthrough. I am getting my healing. Yes, you are getting your healing. You are getting your ministry. You are getting your mega church. For instance, it's like rain. You are excited, but it will go away very quickly. And during the time of drought, that rain will never help you. It is the glacier that will help you. Hallelujah. I don't know how many are understanding that. Hallelujah. Many will come and go, but the preachers of righteousness will stay the course. The preachers of righteousness, their sermons will be like glaciers. A sermon that is preached 10 years back can supply to the thirst of people after 10 years and cater to their needs. That is what happened with Daniel. He went to the books and he understood the revelation of what is going to happen with his nation because of the utterances of this persecuted prophet, because the utterances of the crying prophet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So do not be discouraged. That is what I want to tell you. Because your speakings, your writings, will have long-lasting impacts and carry out the legacy of God's kingdom from generation to generation. It will not be like rains. It will be like a glacier. It will be like a great glacier. Hallelujah. So that was the second revelation about the model of righteousness. The third revelation I will take on in the next meeting. But the third revelation I want to tell you of the righteousness is, a vessel of righteousness is often betrayed, isolated, and lonely. A vessel of righteousness is often betrayed, isolated, and lonely. Hallelujah. So God will train you in that area if you walk in righteousness. Because I don't know what is happening to Christians. Many people cannot stay without, many people nowadays cannot stay without sharing their problems, talking to someone. There was a lady from India. I ministered to her for 5 to 6 years. But even after, I would call her personally. Most of the days I will pray with her. I will counsel her, spent hours on her. 5 to 6 years almost, I don't remember, but around 5 to 6 years. But after 5 to 6 years, she never changed. It's like, okay, I am catering to her. I am talking to her, counseling her, praying for her. But sometimes I have my work. I cannot pray with her. So the days I cannot pray with her, she will go online. You know, there is this Facebook, you know, and there are chatting websites where you can find someone and talk to them. So she would find people online. And then I will call her after a week. And she said, I could not stay. I had to talk to someone. So I went online. I searched for a person and I told that person all my story. I said, why don't you change? Why don't you change? Yes, people are not able to take in isolation. Loneliness and isolation are two different things. And I am telling you, if God has chosen you to carry out his kingdom work, he will isolate you. And then you should not be like, even for one day, I want to share my problems. Oh, this happened. Sister K, I will call Sister K. Sister K, this happened. Sister K, that happened. Sister K, I want to, if you are angry, you will vent out your anger on Sister K. If you are happy, you will share your happiness with Sister K. You cannot stay in the secret place. You want someone. But a vessel of righteousness He's not like that. Hallelujah. I will move on to that subject. If I start that subject, it will take a long time. So I don't want to go into half done. So I will continue that subject of isolation, betrayal, and loneliness in the next meeting. Let us pray. God is doing something in your life, beloved. God is doing something in your life. You are not here by chance. If you are listening to the message, you are not listening by chance. God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you. Hallelujah. You need to stand with the strength of the Lord. And you need to stand and walk in the model and the example of righteousness. Because God will make you shine when the time comes, but He will make you go through things that righteousness demands. Oh, hallelujah. Are you ready to pay the price for righteousness? Are you ready to embark on the journey of righteousness, beloved? Hallelujah. Because righteousness shall shine. The glory of the Lord shall shine upon those who are the practitioners of the word of God, who are the performers of the will of God, and who are the preachers and the teachers of the utterances of God. They are consecrated unto God, and they are the righteous vessels of God. Do not be discouraged. Do not be surprised when fiery trials try you. Do not worry. God is there with you. Though you are rejected by men and rejected by the world, but yet you are chosen by God, beloved. Hallelujah. Rabbah, I am telling you, beloved, if by this time I was a pastor of a mega church, I would not have preached this sermon to you. I'm telling you, there is a reason why God keeps you. There is a reason why God kept me where I am, so that sermons can be produced out of a life of a person that is a man of righteousness. Hallelujah. I'm telling you that pastor I spoke about, he preached like crowd puller and all those things because he got everything very fast. I don't know how he got fast or whatever is his life journey. That's why he does not preach. He cannot preach this sermon that I am preaching. I am preaching this sermon not because I am some great preacher, because God kept me where I am. If I was somewhere in doing big ministry, and having men and women calling me papa, 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 papa. Some people tried to call me that. I said, stop, don't call me father. Some people tried to wish me on the Father's Day. You are a father. I said, I'm not a father. Don't wish me happy Father's Day. I am just a righteous vessel of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to be at places where the applauds of men will take me. I just want to be at the place where only God can take me. Hallelujah. 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 You will save your life. The applauds of men wants to take you somewhere. Don't go there. Don't go there. Reject it. Just be where God will take you. Just be where God places you. Not by the applauds of men, but by the grace of God. I am what I am. Oh, hallelujah. Tharabo kaya bala soto. Lampra bala halsiat. Try to find your security in the will of God, in the secret place of God. Just you and Him, beloved. Just you and Him. Hallelujah. Because the times are coming where the glaciers have to release the water. Hallelujah. So bara takabo se takariyalando. Eh palu darabala halsial taraba. I prophesy that you are a glacier. You are a glacier and you will not be rain. You are a glacier, a storage house, a storage unit for on behalf of heaven to feed the people on the earth. Hallelujah. There will come a time where people will be fed up of that rain thing. Ah, quick things. And then they will come to the water that always flows from the stream of, hallelujah, from the storehouse of God. The streams of living water the Bible talks about will be for the healings of the nations. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Wherever it flows, the streams of living water will bring life. And God's, it comes from God's house. God's house, the one who stays in His presence is like a glacier. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to give you praise. Revive your people, teach your people. Oh Lord, and Lord, Let them walk in your ways, I ask you, Father. Thank you, Father, for ministering to us, Holy Spirit. I give you the praise. I give you the glory. I give you the honor. Cover everyone here, Lord. Even those who are not there, cover all of them, Lord, with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, I pray those who are seeking for healing and various needs of life, I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you will draw them closer to Jesus, that their needs will be fulfilled when they are in the presence of God, and they will be healed completely and made whole when they are in the presence of God. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. People of God, remove your mute and shout amen.